Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
If you're joining us for the first time, maybe online or in the room, we're in the second week of a series called Faith Steps, and we're studying what does it mean to have faith? And if we're honest, and even for me, it's like, how do we live out faith every single day of our lives? And last week we talked about Hebrews chapter 11, where it says, "For it is impossible to please God without faith." And if it's that important, how do we use our faith to, one, please God, but also live our lives with Him and experience the life that He has called us to? And so today, we're actually going to be in Judges chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, Judges chapter 6. You can turn there or click on your Bible app. If not, we're going to put it on the screens for you as well if you don't have that. So we're going to dive right in. Before we pray and jump into the message here today, I just wanted to say this weekend, we celebrate Martin Luther King weekend. And during this time, it's a great opportunity for us just to remember that God has called each and every person, right? God looks at the heart of man, not at the outward appearance of man. And we have an opportunity as a church to represent and lead the way in that, and saying we love each and every person, no matter what they look like or their past or whatever that may be. We can lean into that as a church and say that this is who God's called us to be, to share the gospel and to love in that. And so I want to pray for us and just ask God to speak to us during this time and just encourage us and speak His word over our lives and in our hearts. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. God, I pray that you will speak to our hearts here this morning. I pray that if maybe life is going on and we just feel like it's heavy and whatever that may be over the next few moments, I pray that we can lay that at your feet, God. I pray that we can rest in the fact of that you are walking with us and that you have a future and a purpose. God, I pray that you would just speak clarity over our lives and over our hearts. God, I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we think about faith and we think about our lives, have you noticed that, especially while we watch, say, our movies or a particular show, there's something about human nature, our mindset and our hearts that are really drawn into a good story. Have you noticed that when somebody starts sharing a story, it's like we lean in and something inside of us perks up, our mind even accelerates a little bit. I think that's why we love our shows and watching Netflix and a good movie. I love a good movie. Anybody else love a good movie where you can just listen into that? It's just a powerful thing to hear some of the stories. And I love reading biographies. I love hearing the stories of how people live their lives. Eugene Peterson says this about life. He's a pastor, actually just passed away. He was labeled like the pastor of pastors. But Eugene Peterson said this: "We live in narrative. We live in story. Existence has a story shape to it. We have a beginning and an end. We have a plot and we have characters." It's like we are living in this story. And as I think about faith steps and thinking about the life that God's called us to, that every day you and I are writing a story, right? Every day we are putting a pen to paper of the life that we are called to live. And when we live by faith, it's like we weave into this supernatural, almost impossible, where people, the characters, the other people in our lives can look into our lives and go, "Wow. How did that happen? Wow, that's an amazing story." Not because Daniel is amazing, but maybe there's got to be something more there. It's like he's serving. It's like they're serving for a bigger purpose. It's like they know something about themselves and the world around them that not everybody, that they all know. So how can I know more about that story? And as we look in the Bible, there's all kinds of stories, right? We look in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and really the Bible is a big picture. It's a story of who God is, from Old Testament all the way to New Testament. And today we're looking at a particular story, and we're looking at a pivotal moment in this person's story in the book of Judges chapter 6. And this story is about a man named Gideon. Has anybody heard of a man named Gideon? He's in the Old Testament, like like I said, chapter 6, and Judges was written during a particular time period where God placed certain people to be over his Israelite people. And he placed judges, those are the ones who were in charge. So instead of kings, it was almost like governors over particular areas. And Gideon was the fifth judge in Israel. And so he was one, and he was taken over, but it was a very hard time. In fact, the whole time period, which spans over several hundred years during the book of Judges, it's a hard time for God's people. They're under oppression, and they're fighting all kinds of different people, and they're still trying to live out the life and even in the place that God has called them to. And so in this particular story, it's a really hard time because there's this group of people called the Midianites who are coming, and they're trying to take over the Israelite people. And God is saying, wait a second, you were called to live a different style. You were called to live. I've called you to this. I'm going to make a way for it. So the people are pretty scared. In fact, they've actually, some people have turned away from God and started worshiping other gods and trying to figure out, well, this isn't happening the way that I thought it was going to happen. And so I'm going to turn and worship something else. And so we see this dynamic begin to play out here in the Israelites' life. But then God intervenes. How amazing is it to know that God still intervenes? He did it here thousands of years ago, and he still intervenes here today. So we're going to read this and then begin just to kind of break down and how can we look at Gideon's life and his faith and the faith that God gave him, and how can we learn from the way that he lived his life as well. Everybody good? Everybody okay? Amen. Very good. So chapter 6, verse 11, it reads like this. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abzarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that the ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" We have a picture here of Gideon, and he's sitting down and he's threshing wheat off the ground, and all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appeared to him. We just went through Christmas, right? And so we see a lot of angel appearances talking to people, and how crazy that may sound and how fearful that may be. And every time an angel appears to someone, people are overwhelmed. It's almost like they're fearful because of the holiness of who this angel is. And this angel appears to Gideon, and Gideon has this response, and the angel calls him and he says something to him. He says, the first thing the angel says to Gideon, this is great. It says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And this is the response of Gideon. He's like, pardon me, Lord? Like, well, wait a second. If the Lord is with us, if the Lord is with me and I'm leading these people, then why is all of this happening to us? It's like you've abandoned us. It's like we're still under oppression, and this is not happening, and this is not going the way that I thought, and we don't have the food, we don't have the money that we need, and all of these things are coming into place. And he's asking and he's questioning, and I know that I've been in that place before in my life where it's almost like, God, where are you? What are you doing? And all of these things are happening. Maybe I lost my job, or my kid is acting a certain way, or my marriage is going one way, or whatever it may be. And it's like, God, all of this is happening to me, right? And why is this happening to me? And it's like you have abandoned us, right? It's like you are not even here. And this is what Gideon is saying. I think it's a real human concern, and sometimes we can be in those moments, but God does something to Gideon right here that is so powerful for you and I to learn. It's life-changing, and in fact, it's faith-giving. One of the things I want us to see here is that the angel comes to Gideon, and he speaks to him, and he says, and this is what he says, "The Lord is with you," and then he calls him a name. He says, "Mighty warrior." And Gideon is looking at himself. When he looks at himself in the mirror, he's like, I am not a mighty warrior. Why would you call me a mighty? I'm not. No, that's not me. You got the, it's like he's looking around. You got the wrong guy. That's not me. Some translations say man of valor. Some translations say you are a great hero. And this is what the Lord calls him. But this is important. This is, if you're taking notes, I'd love for you to write this down. It says, faith is not based on what we see, but what God says. Faith is not based off what we see, but what God says. We see that God here in this moment through his angel speaks faith into Gideon. In fact, he speaks something over him that hasn't yet come to pass. And so Gideon has to now have faith of what God has said about him, right? What God has said, even though what he sees is not happening. He's like, no, you've abandoned us. Like, this destruction all around me, this is not happening. I have never even been in a fight before, right? Like, you're calling me a mighty warrior, but yet God speaks faith into Gideon. God says, this is who you are. In fact, this is who I'm calling you to, right? And all of a sudden, now Gideon has a choice, right? He has a choice to believe what God says or believe what he sees about himself, or even believe what everybody else around him is saying, of going, God's not with us. This destruction's happening, and this is not going right, and the world's falling up. All these things, right, or they could be saying, but yet Gideon chooses to believe what God says. Gideon chooses to say, you know what, I have faith in what God has said about me and his plan for the future of the people that I am leading. And this is beautiful. This is, honestly, it's life-changing for you and I, because you and I, we are who God says we are. We are who he has called us to be. And even if we look in the mirror and go, that's not me. That's not me, God. You got the wrong person, right? But it's not about what we see. It's what God says. And when we place our faith in that, when we give our lives to Christ and we say, you know what, I place my faith in Jesus. I'm following him. I've given him my life. We now, the Bible describes us as a chosen people, a royal priesthood. He calls us the salt of the earth, right? The light on a hill. God gives us all of these descriptions of who we are now in Christ. And you and I may be looking going, royal priesthood? You got the wrong guy. You're like, you don't know what I was thinking about. You don't know what happened, like, right? Like this, you got the wrong person, right? And all of this, but yet we can believe in faith who God has called us to be. And I believe this is even important. So if we're discipling someone, or maybe we're talking to our spouse, whatever it may be, we have an opportunity to speak faith into people. And even though it may not look like it, right? Maybe they're not even acting like it yet, but yet we can still speak faith over them. I think about my kids and calling them to something, right? Because it's easy, especially, you know, it's easy to call out and go, oh, well, this isn't right, and this isn't right, and you're not doing this and not doing that, right? But yet, if I point to something and go, this is who God's called you to. Even if I'm investing in someone, or maybe the coworker, or think about my spouse, I have an opportunity to speak faith into them, to say, this is who God's called you to be as a wife, as a husband. And I speak that because now we're calling people to something and not just tearing away at the foundation. We are able to speak in faith, even though maybe we don't see it yet. Maybe they don't see it. Maybe the people around them don't see it right. It's almost like, what do you see in them, right? It's like, oh, I'm speaking faith over them. I'm speaking faith into the relationships that I have around me. And just like the Lord spoke into Gideon, he's saying, I see something in you. I see a mighty warrior. Gideon, you don't see it yet, but I see that in you. Maybe you know someone around you at work, and they're always serving people, but yet they don't really believe that God's called them to do anything significant in their life. And you walk up to them and you say, hey, I see you are a mighty servant. Man, God is already using you in incredible ways. This is pretty, like, I don't know if you can tell, but God's already connecting people through you because of the way that you're serving. Or maybe you notice that somebody is really good at something. Maybe they're really great at connecting people or talking to people. You walk up to them and you're able to connect with them and say, hey, I've noticed you got this gift. It's like you can talk, and when you talk to people, you don't meet a stranger. It's like you're connecting with them, or whatever it may be. It could be, hey, when every time you read something and then we talk about it, it's like you understand it in a beautiful way. You have this gift to be able to read that. And we have the amazing opportunity to live lives with people around us and call them to something, to speak faith and speak life into them that maybe they don't even see yet. God, how exciting is this, that God may use you or me to speak into someone's life that changes the trajectory of their life, that changes the trajectory of your life, to where we notice something in them, and maybe for the first time they're going, wait, I know, I'll say, you may be right. You may be right. And for you and I to know that faith comes from God. And so as I'm in God's word and I'm spending time with the Holy Spirit and God directs me, now we can know who God's called us to be. And now that we know who God's called us to be, we can call people to that. We can direct them, and even ourselves, of speaking life into us. Because sometimes, even for us, we can feel the pressure, because it doesn't always feel like God is with us. Right? It doesn't feel like, just like we talked about, it can feel like he's abandoned, and we feel the weight of the world, and everybody else around us is going, the world's falling apart and nothing's good is happening. And we as Christians have the opportunity to stand up to say, God is still moving. God is still working. God is still saving people. He is still connecting people. He is still building community. He's helping people experience peace. He's helping people experience true love. All of these things. And we can stand up even though we can't see it right every single time. But we speak it in faith of how God is moving and how God is working in our life. And when we speak in faith, it does something to us, and it does something in us as we get to see this. And Gideon here, later on in the story, I'm going to finish reading verses 15 and 16 and then continue on in the Gideon story. But verse 15, Gideon continues in his pardon me. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive. And we see this story where God is calling him, that he's going to be a mighty warrior for the Lord, and he's going to strike down these people and make a way for God's people to reach the promised land that they were going to be able to get to. And we see this in the first step, because faith is, we see it experienced in our lives in steps. To where God gives us this call, or God calls us to do something, asks us to take this faith step. And when we take that faith step, then he'll call us to another faith step. Then he'll call us to another. We see it even as he is with his disciples in the New Testament. It's like he gives them one thing to do, and as they trust him with that small thing, then he gives them something else. Then he gives them something else, and their faith continues to grow. And we see this beautiful thing happen. And so the first thing that God calls Gideon to do, he says, okay, you're a mighty warrior. I want you to know that. I want you to remember that. You're a mighty warrior. This is what I'm calling you to. And then he says, hey, okay, your nation right now, they set up this altar to Baal. And this altar, he's a pretty prevalent in the Old Testament, where they would set up all these different altars and do these different chants and even sacrifices and all these things to this particular God. And he's saying, your people have set up this. I want you to go and tear that down. I want you to tear that down, and so that people know that they need to worship the one true God. But this was a big deal for Gideon, because if people saw that he tore that down, people believed that this God was real. And so they were willing to fight over it. They were willing to strike down Gideon, and he knew this. And so he had a decision to make. Am I going to have faith in what God called me to do? And so we see this beautiful picture where Gideon says, I'm going to trust you with this step. And he goes in the secret of the night, and he tears down this altar of Baal, and he begins to burn all of those pieces away so that they don't have that. And the people wake up and they are furious. They are furious. They're like, who did this? Who would do that? We're going to take them. We're going to kill them. All these different things, right? Like, I can't believe somebody would do this. And Gideon, all of a sudden they find out it's Gideon. And Gideon's father actually steps up, and he says something that's just so good. Gideon's father steps up and he says, hey, we're worried about this altar of Baal, right? But if Baal is real, leave Gideon to Baal. And if Baal is real, leave Gideon to Baal and let him take care of Gideon if this was true. So Baal is not a real God. So obviously nothing happened to Gideon. But what a powerful statement, right? Of going, all these things are going on. And Gideon's father steps up and kind of refocuses everybody and goes, hey, don't do anything to Gideon. Right? Like this, if this is the one true God, he's going to move. He's going to act, right? And then so now Gideon continues on and he sees how in that one moment when he trusts God and has faith, all of a sudden we see the Israelites begin to see that nothing has happened to Gideon. And now they know that now Gideon is going to lead them towards God. And I think there's a principle there for you and I to realize that whenever you and I place our faith in Christ, there is going to be opposition. Whenever we try to take that faith step, if you're taking notes, this is a quick one here. The devil will always give you an excuse why you can't do what God says. He will always provide an excuse of going, okay, we're going to get up together and we're going to go to church, right? And then you're going to wake up and there's going to be a million excuses in your mind. You're going to say, you know what? I'm ready. I'm going to jump into a small group. I'm ready to learn more about the word. I'm going to take this in. And all of a sudden, a million things are going to be run to your mind. I'm crazy. They're going to find out I'm weird. Like all these things, right? Or he's going to speak excuses into our lives. Oh, I got to do this. I got to take my kids here. Whatever it may be. But he will always give us an excuse to try to derail us from the faith steps that God is calling us to. And he will always give us an excuse in that. And you and I, we have to realize and refocus that whenever we take those faith steps in Christ, there may be some things that God asks us to let go of so that we can freely run towards him. You see, in this moment, God realized that his people, there were some that were holding on to this fake God. They were holding on to worshiping him. They were placing their hope. They were saying, if I do this chant, if I do this thing, then my life is going to be better. Maybe it'll get us out of this mess, all of these things. And God is going, wait, I want you to place that worship on me. I want you to worship me. And so the first thing God did was to eliminate those things. One of the things we're doing as a church here is 21 days of prayer and fasting. And that's why I love fasting, because it gives us an opportunity to go, okay, I'm going to eliminate this from my life. Not because it's necessarily bad or I'm going to do it forever, but it gives me a moment in time and a time period to go, God, I'm going to refocus my attention on you. I'm going to refocus whatever that may be on you. But I'll tell you, if there's things in our life where we start to place our worship on that instead of what God has called us to, or instead of who God is. And one way we know that is that we believe I have to have this thing in order for me to be happy. I have to have this thing and it's going to give me peace. If I have this thing, it's going to give me rest. If I have this thing, I will truly have joy in my life. And God is going, it may sound that way, but that's why you have to keep going back to it. He's like, but I want you to know that when you worship me, that's when you experience true joy. That's when you experience an endless supply of love, endless supply of grace. And he's saying, I want you to refocus on me. And we see this all throughout scripture of how Gideon continues to flow and move. And then we get here to a moment. This is my favorite part. You guys ready? If I get a little excited, y'all got to just calm me down, okay? But we see here in verse 15, I love this because Gideon says this. He says, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest and I am least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites. We see this beautiful picture of where Gideon stops, and he goes back to what he sees, right? He goes back to what he sees, like, I'm the weakest in my family. My clan is the weakest. We can't do this, God. And God gives him a truth, a principle that we see in the New Testament that will radically change your life and my life. You guys ready for it? And this is what he says. Faith is doing what God says with what we have. God turns to Gideon, and Gideon tells him everything that he is not, right? We don't have the mightiest warriors. I'm not the greatest leader. And he's telling him all these things, but God turns to him and he says, go in the strength you have. He says, the strength that you have right now, the mind that you have right now, the leadership ability that you have right now, I have spoken it, so I want you to do it with what you have. And you and I, we practice faith steps when we are obedient to God with what we have. God's not asking us to take these crazy faith steps, and then he's going to say, hey, in fact, I want you to wait. When you become the greatest leader, then I want you to do that. When you become the greatest spouse, then I want you to do that. When you become the greatest whatever, then I want you to do it. God is going, no, I want you to be faithful with what you have right now. We see this all throughout the Bible. You remember the story in the New Testament where Jesus comes and there's 5,000. The Bible says it counted men, but they counted probably 10 or 15,000 people. They're listening to God and it's all day affair. I mean, think about church all day. Let's go today. No, I'm just kidding. All day, and they're sitting there, and then the disciples come to Jesus and they go, hey, everybody's hungry. In fact, I think some people are about to pass out. They're so hungry. And Jesus looks at them. He goes, well, feed them. And the disciples are like, wait a second, what? I didn't bring enough for 15,000 people, Jesus. What's going on here? And then Jesus, he says the exact same thing. He says, what do you have? And they begin to look around, right? And they're looking around. They find this little kid who has these fish and bread. And they bring it to Jesus and go, okay, God, this is all we got. This is all we have. These two little fish, these loaves of bread, this is all that we have. And Jesus goes, thank you. And Jesus takes it and he blesses it. And guess what Jesus does? He feeds every single person. The Bible says until they are full, and then there are 12 extra baskets for the disciples to take home and carry in cases, right? And Jesus tells us something over and over again. Be faithful with what you have, where you are right now, and watch me begin to work in your life that you have never experienced before. And when you trust me, place your faith in me. It is impossible to please God without faith. And when you and I come with what we have and say, God, this is all I have. I need you to work in it. I need you to do something supernatural in it. God, this is all the money I have. I don't know how I'm going to make rent this month, right? Like, God, this is all the education I have, but yet you're calling me to do this. God, this is all. I only have 15 minutes, God. My kids are running around. I'm in your word. This is all I have. I need you to speak during that time. And when we trust God with all that we have, he is faithful and he will show up and he will begin to do a work in us and through us that we have never experienced before. But it takes faith. It takes that step of going, God, this is all, this is everything I have. And it doesn't, what I see is this is not enough. It's going to fall short. But our faith is going, okay, I'm still going to do what God says, even though it has fallen short, even though it does not make it. And every time again, and here's the thing, here's the crazy thing about faith and our relationship with God. Is just like the Israelites in the Old Testament, you know how God would do something supernatural, like part the Red Sea, and then 2 days later, they're like, oh, God, we're going to die. This is not going to work, right? I do it too, right? Like, there's a moment where something falls short in my life, and God shows up, and me and my wife are hugging and excited and worshiping and praising, and then a week later, something else happens. We're like, oh, God, what's going to happen, right? I don't know. Like, it's not going to work, and then God shows up again, and it's like, wow, okay, this is amazing. God, you are so good. But it calls us going back. That's why it's so important for us to be in the Word and being in healthy community where somebody can look at us and go, God's going to show up. I know it doesn't feel like it right now. I know you can't see it right now, but God is with you. That he says this twice, just in those short pieces of narrative. And as we close here, just to illustrate and kind of bring this point home, we see Gideon later. He's getting ready. He is called a mighty warrior. Now it's time to act in faith in who God has called him to be. And so he rallies the troop and he gathers 32,000 men ready to fight. They're ready to go into battle. And God looks at Gideon and goes, ah, Gideon, I'm sorry. This is too many. This is too many, right? Like, I know you're getting ready to go into battle, but this is too many men. And Gideon's like, God, what are you trying to do to me, right? Like, and he goes, just go and announce. If you're worried or you're scared, tell them to go home. So Gideon goes, tells them, if you're worried or scared, go home. 22,000 turn around and go home. Gideon is left sitting here with 10,000 men. God looks at Gideon. Guess what he says? Too many, Gideon. It's too many. And Gideon's like, are you kidding me? Like, what? God, this is too many. And he tells them, I want you to tell them to go down and drink some water. And if they drink water a certain way, tell those men to go home. And so they do that. And it leaves Gideon with 300 men getting ready to go into battle. The Bible says that if you look at the Midianites, there were probably about 135,000 Midianites that they were getting ready to face. And they're looking at the across the valley, right? 135 people, and then you have 300 and Gideon, right? And Gideon, he learns this truth, but yet his faith was built up to this point. He had to get rid of the Baal, right? And then he had I didn't have time to go into it today, but he calls the Gideon fleece, where he asks God to confirm what he's calling him to do. And then he's taken all of these faith steps, but Gideon is being faithful in every one of those little, what feels like little faith steps. Then he gets to this big moment where it's 300, right? And I'm sure Gideon is standing there in front of the line going, I am a mighty warrior. God called me. I know I'm a mighty warrior. I know I'm a hero. I know God's called me to this. And he has to begin to speak faith into that. And he has to believe it enough to live it out. He has to believe it enough to act on it, right? God said it, so it must come true, right? That you are a mighty warrior, but yet he has to have the faith to go, okay, I'm charging across this mountain, this valley with 300 men, and it doesn't look like it's going to go well, but I'm going to place my faith in what God says. And I'm going to do what he has called me to do. And my faith is based off of what I have. And if you're taking notes, I'd love for you to write this down. And that your weakness in the hands of God is an opportunity. Your weakness in the hands of God is an opportunity. There is not one single person who looked at Gideon and his weakest clan and his weakest leadership and his 300 men and goes, Gideon, wow, that you are the greatest warrior on the planet, right? Like Gideon, wow. Like they looked at him and go, how did you do that? How did you defeat them? How did you live your life that way? How did God do that through you? How did you make it that long? And Gideon turns and he turns and he says, it's only through the power of God. Now, because of his weakness, right, he was able to step up and to say, only God can do that through me. And when you and I, we place our weakness, when we place whatever we have in the hands of God and we begin to live our lives in faith to what God has called us to do, now we can point to a supernatural God. We can point to the Creator. So the next time you see your weakness, the next time you see impossible in front of you, it's almost like you and I need to smile a little bit because we have an opportunity now to say, God's going to get the credit for this. God, I'm going to place my faith. I believe he's going to do what he's called me to do. And every time he shows up, I get to smile because he is faithful. He is faithful every step of the way. And I think about, I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I just feel like God, as we talk about it, because over there, we planted this church in 2018. We believe that God called us and that God was going to show up, and we had a few people move, and you know, of course, it starts really small, and this principle has reigned true. And people ask me all the time, what's some of the biggest things you've ever learned church planting? And I say, because God is faithful. That's the number one thing. God is faithful. All we kept doing is just taking steps of faith. And every time we take steps of faith, God, we don't have enough money. Here's all the money we have. We don't have enough people. We don't have all of these things, right? But God kept showing up. And then a pandemic hit, right? 2020. And now something that is based off gathering people is not very good during COVID, right? Because now all of these things, but every step of the way, guess what? God is faithful. God is every step of the way. A door would close, God would open up another one. We would take that faith step as a church, as a faith step in our leadership team, and you as a church. Every time we would take those steps, God would continue to show up, and he continues to show up every single way. And it's you, your job and my job to keep taking those faith steps. Keep trusting God for whatever that next step is. And every time we take it, we see God move and work inside of our lives. And so my question is for you and I, we talked about this even last week. What is that faith step that God has called us to? Maybe you're looking and you're looking at your life. Maybe it's something where you know what? I need to eliminate that from my life. I need to remove that, or I need to whatever that may be, because that's holding me back from pursuing God, from seeking after Him. Or maybe it's for me, God, this is all I have, and I need to surrender that to You. This is everything that I have, God, and I need to surrender that to You. I need to trust You with that. It could be, God, I can't get into the Word. I can't spend that time in prayer. All I truly, God, all I have is 10 minutes. I would say surrender that 10 minutes to Him. Surrender that time of being in His Word. Maybe spend some time in prayer. Watch God work in that moment. Maybe you're saying, this is all the money I have, or this is all the knowledge I have, but God's calling you to start a ministry or start a blog or whatever it may be. We take those moments and go, God, I'm given You all that I have. And even in the moments when you're in the valley, just like Gideon, and he's going, God, it feels like You've abandoned us. It feels like nothing is happening. My wheels are turning in the mud. In fact, it's so heavy, God, that I don't know if we're going to make it through this. That's an opportunity for you and I. That's when our faith kicks in and we say, you know what? It's not about what I see, but it's about what God says. And I believe what His Word says. And that's why when we're in God's Word and we're encouraged by His Word, we're encouraged by believers who are around us, He keeps speaking faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God, right? And so we keep getting that Word. Our faith keeps growing, and we see Him begin to work inside of our lives, inside of our hearts. And so I would love to pray for us as a church, and as we continue our next steps and continue into a new year. I know the new year is a great time to evaluate. This was my past year. I'm ready to create new habits or whatever it may be, a life change. And so my prayer is that You would ask God, in this new year, what faith step are You calling me to take? What do I need to trust You with? What do I need to surrender to You? And I believe God will do something in our lives that maybe we've never experienced before. Maybe we can place our faith and trust Him in who we are. But let's pray together. We love You, God. We praise You. God, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You so much for Your truth. God, thank You for each and every person that's in this room, listening online, a part of this community, God. And I just pray that You speak to our hearts. God, I know that there are seasons and moments in life where it feels like everything is breaking down around us, God. I pray that You would increase our faith during those times. I pray that You would not just whisper to our hearts, God, but You would begin to shout those truths in our mind and in our heart, God, that we would trust You, that we would place our faith in You, God. I pray that if we've never given our lives to You, I pray that we would make that decision today to say, God, I trust You. I give my life to You. I believe that You died on the cross for me. I believe that You rose again. And for the first time, God, I'm placing my faith in You, my life in You, God. God, I pray that we would continue to take those faith steps. I pray that it would be a moment where we could look back and say, I remember when I took that first faith step. And I experienced for the first time, God, that You were faithful. God, I pray that You continue to move in our lives, continue to move in our hearts. God, we love You so much. Thank You for being faithful. Thank You for being with us. Thank You for Your grace. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.